close to the keyboard and pressed the cursor keys. Those were the keys that moved the cursor around on the screen. But nothing happened. Then he pushed other keys. The screen remained unchanged.
Well, she said.
Something's wrong, Tim said, frowning.
You just don't know, Timmy, she said.
He examined the computer again, looking at it carefully. The keyboard had a row of function keys at the top, just like a regular PC keyboard, and the monitor was big and in color, but the monitor housing was sort of unusual. Tim looked at the edges of the screen and saw lots of faint pinpoints of red light. Red light all around the borders of the screen. What could that be? He moved his finger toward the light and saw the soft red glow on his skin. He touched the screen where it said Access TNL and heard a beep. A message box flashed up saying, "You already have access. Make your selection from the main screen." A moment later, the message box disappeared, and the original screen flashed back up.
"What happened?" Lex said. "What did you do? You touched something."
Of course, he thought. He had touched the screen. It was a touch screen. The red lights around the edges must be infrared sensors. Tim had never seen such a screen, but he'd read about them in magazines. He touched Reset Revert. Instantly the screen changed. He got a new message. "The computer is now reset. Make your selection from the main screen." Over the radio, they heard the sound of raptors snarling.
"I want to see," Lex said. "You should try view."
"No, Lex."
"Well, I want view," she said,
and before he could grab her hand, she had pressed view. The screen changed. Now the heading at the top said Subroutines View, Video Interface Environmental Watch. Other labeled boxes arrayed underneath designated video monitors at various locations in the park.
"Uh-oh," she said. "Lex, will you cut it out?" "Look," she said, "it worked. Ha!"
Around the room, the monitors showed quickly changing views of different parts of the park. Most of the images were misty gray because of the exterior fog, but one showed the outside of the lodge with a raptor on the roof, and then another switched to an image in bright sunlight showing the bow of a ship. Bright sunlight.
"What was that?" Tim said, leaning forward. "What? That picture?"
But the image had already changed, and now they were seeing the inside of the lodge, one room after another. And then he saw Malcolm lying in a bed.
"Stop it," Lex said. "I see them."
Tim touched the screen in several places and got submenus, then more submenus.
"Wait," Lex said. "You're confusing it. Will you shut up? You don't know anything about computers."
Now he had a list of monitors on the screen. One of them was marked Safari Lodge, LV2-4. Another was Remote Shipboard, VND. He pressed the screen several times. Video images came up on monitors around the room. One showed the bow of the supply ship and the ocean ahead. In the distance, Tim saw land, buildings along a shore and a harbor. He recognized the harbor because he had flown over it in a helicopter the day before. It was Punta Arenas. The ship seemed to be just minutes from landing. But his attention was drawn by the next screen, which showed the roof of the safari lodge in gray mist. The raptors were mostly hidden behind the pyramids, but their heads bobbed up and down, coming into view. And then on the third monitor, he could see inside a room. Malcolm was lying in a bed, and Ellie stood next to him. They were both looking upward. As they watched, Muldoon walked into the room and joined them, looking up with an expression of concern.
"They see us," Lex said. "I don't think so."
The radio crackled. On the screen, Muldoon lifted the radio to his lips.
"Hello, Tim?"
"I'm here.